The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Croner from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. If you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. Okay, let's go over the Reader's Digest Life Well Lived. A love without limits. Some people thought that a couple with Down syndrome shouldn't marry. But after 25 years, Paul and Chris Schroem, DeForge, are still going strong. And there's a picture of the couple sitting on a sofa. He's got a smile on his face, and she's got her head on his shoulder. She's blonde. He has glasses. 4 years, Chris Schroem, DeForge, had a Valentine's Day routine. She celebrated like clockwork with her husband, Paul Schroem, DeForge. She would always have a card, one of the elaborate ones she prefers to make by hand for those she loves, waiting for him when he came home from work. Chris, 58, enjoys cooking. Paul loves to just about everything she makes, yet on Valentine's Day they would go out to eat, maybe at Red Lobster or Olive Garden, maybe someplace as basic and comfortable as their beloved Subway. They were celebrating each other. "He opened up my world," Chris says, her arm resting on Paul's. But this year's Valentine's Day may be the most eventful one yet. That's because it is their 25th as a husband and wife, a landmark that would be noteworthy for most couples, but is extraordinary for the Schroem DeForges. They were both born with Down syndrome and are believed to be the longest married couple with the condition in the country. At the time of their wedding, some folks believed that people with Down syndrome didn't have the emotional maturity to be married. Chris, who as a girl used to cut wedding photos from magazines and hang them on her wall, knew better. "I looked into his eyes and saw my future," Chris said about falling in love with Paul when they first met at a dance 30 years ago. To prove her point, when they got married, they decided to blend their last names into one. Still, they've had their struggles, and the most recent one may be the most monumental. This year's Valentine's Day is the first on which they won't be living together. Paul, 54, is coping with early-stage dementia, an illness that affects many with his condition at a relatively young age. Several months ago, the state moved him into a community residence with intensive nursing care. "When they told me, I started to cry," said Chris, who still lives in their cozy apartment in Liverpool, New York, a suburb of Syracuse. "He's my life. I don't want to be without him." Their families worked hard to keep them together. They believe that Chris and Paul deserve the chance to make the same decisions as any couple when their partner faces dementia. "They should define their own lives," Susan Schroem, Chris's sister, told Today. "They know what is good for them." When the New York State Office for People with Developmental Disabilities determined that Paul could not stay in the couple's home, the family petitioned. They even found a new apartment that met the state standards and was more easily accessible for Paul. At first, the state agreed, a huge victory, but Paul's condition to deteriorate. By that time, he was using a wheelchair and required round-the-clock care. The state decided he needed to move to the facility after all. The couple was disappointed, but not daunted. Chris visits Paul regularly, and they spend weekends together in Schroem's house, where Chris still cooks for her groom. "They have an unconditional love," Schroem said. "They totally complement each other." The ongoing quest to keep them together reminds Lorraine DeForge, Paul's mother, of all the obstacles her son has overcome. With help from his 7 brothers and sisters, he mastered the bus service in Syracuse. He spent many years working at the ARC of Onondaga's Vocational Division. In 2013, this local chapter of the ARC, a nationwide community organization that advocates for the developmentally disabled, cited Paul's work ethic, community service, and good cheer when it named him the Person of the Year. DeForge remembered how some doctors told her not to expect much when Paul was born. Instead, he grew up to live a successful life that included a marriage that has lasted a quarter of a century. And there's a picture of them on their wedding day, both of them very young, both of them smiling like crazy. Chris has had her struggles, too. While she seeks with passion of the support of her parents, she spent a year as a child in a state institution after her father died young and her mother became ill. "It was hard," she said quietly, recalling the sense of isolation. Then and now, she said, some people could be cruel. She still encounters the occasional stranger who makes casual and wounding use of the word retard. The truth is, those people have no idea how rich and rewarding her life is. They cannot appreciate how Chris, a diabetic, has the courage to give herself insulin injections 4 times a day. They cannot understand how Chris learned to be a skilled cook and graduated from high school, or how she gets up in the morning to go to work in an office mailroom, or how she and Paul maintain a fierce allegiance to NASCAR driver Dale Earnhardt Jr. They cannot see the kind of commitment that endures after 25 years and is every bit as fresh today to have and to hold in sickness and in health. And they can't see how, as Chris sits in her own living room and recalls those vows from her wedding day, she is surrounded by photos of herself with the man who changed her life. Between a rock and a hard place, whoever came up with the idea of combining diamonds with marriage must have been pretty smart. What better to symbolize marriage than the hardest thing known to mankind? News from the world of medicine. A single concussion raises dementia risk. A study of more than 2.5 million people found that having just one concussion increased the risk of developing dementia by 17% compared with those with no concussions. The more concussions you've had, the greater the risk. If you've had a concussion, though, don't panic. Your absolute chance of getting dementia remains quite low. That said, you might want to manage the other known risk factors, which include alcohol abuse and hypertension, and take precautions about getting hurt again. When chemo isn't worth it against breast cancer, a new study found that about 70% of women with the most common type of early-stage breast cancer likely do not need chemotherapy after surgery. A gene expression test examined the tumors of more than 10,000 women with hormone receptor-positive, HER2, negative breast cancer that had not spread to the lymph nodes. The test assigned each woman a recurrence zone score from 0 to 100. The higher the score, the greater the chance the cancer would return. Among the women who scored between 11 and 25, those who received hormone therapy, the most common treatment, had almost identical survival and recurrence rates as those who also got chemo. The one exception, women aged 50 or younger with a score of 16 to 25, did benefit from chemo. Flu vaccine could save your life if you have heart failure. Need another reason to get your flu shot? According to an analysis of data from more than 70,000 patients with heart failure, getting a seasonal influenza vaccine was associated with a 50% drop in the risk of death from any cause during flu season, and a 20% drop in the risk of death during the rest of the year. According to the study's lead author, it is well known that heart failure patients have an elevated risk of flu-related death, so it makes sense that a vaccination can help. Getting vaccinated was also linked to 22% reduction in the risk of being hospitalized with cardiac problems. A photo a day keeps the doctor away. Taking a photograph of each day and posting it online is a popular hobby, if the millions of online pictures tagged number hashtag 365 are any indication. To explore this, how this habit affects health, British researchers interviewed the creators of online photo journals and discovered that daily photography involved respondents' lives in several ways. It made them mindful of the present, it motivated them to go for walks to get their photos, and it gave them the opportunities to interact with folks who share their interests. Osteoporosis drugs may cure baldness. Oh boy, I need that. Researchers from the University of Manchester have discovered that a drug originally developed to treat bone loss may also help treat hair loss. The drug known as WAY316606 expresses the activity of a protein that is the key to regulating the growth of many different types of tissue, including hair follicles. In a lab, the researchers extracted hair follicles from male hair transplant patients, then treated the samples with the drug. In just 2 days, the drug stimulated the hair follicles to grow. A clinical trial is needed to ensure that the treatment is safe and effective when used on hair still attached to living human scalps. But experts are excited about the prospect of a new medication, as existing hair loss treatments are not effective for everyone. My chrome dome could sure use that. The science of hanger. If you've ever been hangry, that is, so hungry it makes you angry, you'll be happy to learn that scientists have begun studying the causes of this unpleasant condition and recommending fixes. The diagnosed hanger researchers from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, right down the road, asked subjects of varying levels of hunger to write a story about either their emotions or an average day. Next, they were asked to look at circles on a computer that had been rigged to crash. The experimenters would then blame the participant for crashing the program. It turns out that people who had written stories about emotions and were therefore focused on their feelings felt less stressed or angry when they were unfairly blamed for the computer crash, even if they were hungry. The takeaway: being aware of your emotional state reduces the chances that hunger will ruin your mood. Mindfulness training can help with that. Of course, if you're hungry, eating also helps. I am the food on your plate. Avocados, a fat bomb for hearts and minds. The plant kingdom contains a staggering array of fruits, nearly everyone treating in the same old thing, sweetness. My fruit brethren whisper sugary promises to coax animals into eating their flesh and spreading their seeds. Their offer is understandably appealing. Eating simple carbs is the fastest way for any creature on the move to get the burst of energy it needs. But me, I'm the oddball that plies my charms not with sugar, but with rich, silky fat. Once a nutritional pariah, that fat is largely what earned me my current spot at American Health, darling. This is by Kate Lowenstein. Chunked into almost every salad and mashed into guacamole as if every day were Super Bowl Sunday. You get up to 30 grams of fat from each of me, and 20 of those are the monounsaturated kind, credited with raising the good HDL cholesterol and lowering heart disease risk. I'm also great for weight control since I'm high in fiber and abundantly satiating. What's good for the heart and belly is also good for the mind. Researchers recently found that people over 50 who ate one of me a day for 6 months improved their cognition. That's likely courtesy of a pigment I carry, lutein. You'll find it in leafy greens, too, in greater quantities, in fact. But in me, the built-in presence of my monounsaturates helps the body absorb it, eventually shuttling it to the brain. With greens, you need to add olive oil to get the same effect. As health experts began emphasizing good fats, their wish became your desire. In 1985, America ate more than 4 million pounds of meat per week. That figure is projected to be 50 million in 2019. In other countries, I've been wildly popular for decades. In Brazil, I'm mashed with condensed milk, cream, and lime juice. In Indonesia, I'm whipped into a shake with chocolate syrup. In Morocco, I'm blended with milk, sugar, and orange flower water. But as much as you humans love me, you're not nearly the first species to clamor for my substantial flesh. Millennia ago, in my native southern Mexico and Central America, there existed beasts with digestive systems large enough to process and then disperse my massive pit. These were the so-called megafauna, sloths that could reach 10 feet tall, armadillo-like glypodons that were as big as small cars, and gomophateras, cousins of the elephant, with their enormous tusks. Historians and botanists don't know exactly which of these snacked on me, but they all would have been able to pop me into their mouths like peanuts, then poop out my pits far and wide for new trees to grow. Without them to spread my unusually large seed, my creamy green gift would have been little more than a weird and momentary lip in fruit's sugary history. Fast forward to about 13,000 years ago, when humans came along and hunted my behemoth patrons into extinction. That would have been the end of me, too, had people not decided that they also loved a dose of plant-based fat. While human digestions can't accommodate my pit, your hands can, and I was able to achieve even wider distribution via the thumb-carrying Homo sapiens who ate me and tossed my seed here and there. With agriculture, things got even better for me. I spawned into hundreds more varieties, which are today grown from South Africa to New Zealand and California to Indonesia. Some of my strains are the size of a chicken's egg, with a peel so thin you can eat its skin and flesh together like an apple. Others are as large as a football. Some, such as the Haas, which makes up most American market, turn black and pebbly on the outside, then mature. Others are green and smooth at peak ripeness. Thankfully for the farmers who transport me across the United States from California and Mexico, I ripen off the tree and therefore ship well. If you buy me before I ripen, you can put me in a brown paper bag for a few days to speed things up, as I produce a gas called ethylene that promotes ripening. Adding an apple or a banana, also ethylene-producing fruits, makes the process even more efficient. To test me for ripeness, apply gentle pressure anywhere on my skin. If it yields, I'm probably ready to eat or put in the fridge, with the softening process was slow. A last word of caution. There has been a spate of avocado hand, which is what happens when well-meaning gawk makers whack their knives at my pit in hopes of dislodging it, but instead find themselves with a blade in the palm. ER doctors report an increase in such incidents and strongly advise caution when preparing me. Please listen to them. My reputation for being both healthy and rich gets dinged when I bite the hand that breeds me. An avocado coffee smoothie. Combine the flesh of one Haas avocado, 1 cup whole milk, 1/2 cup in sweet condensed milk, a pinch of salt, and 8 ice cubes, and blend until smooth. Blend in 3 tablespoons strongly brewed coffee, such as an espresso shot, cooled to room temperature. Drizzle chocolate syrup on the inner walls of the serving cups to make a swirl before filling it with the smoothie. Mix about 2 12-ounce servings. Note, this smoothie also tastes great without the coffee, and for a colder beverage, simply add more ice, pre-chilling the liquid ingredients in the refrigerator. Will also keep the drink cold. Ooh, that does sound good. Kate Lowenstein is the editor-in-chief of Vice's health website, Tonic. Daniel Gritzer is the culinary director of the cooking site Serious Eats. Intergalactic Buzz. Sounds like a plot for a Martian movie, but scientists really are planning to unleash a swarm of robotic bees on the red planet. These bumblebee-sized Mars bees, as NASA is calling them, could replace most of the clunky, expensive rovers that are busily searching for methane gas emissions and other signs of Martian life. We found a fix. 9 tricks to improve your life. Winterproof your boots. Give your winter boots and other shoes a good coating of WD-40, which will stop water from seeping through your feet. WD-40 can also remove ugly salt stains from leather shoes during the winter. Just spray onto the stains and wipe with a clean rag. WD-40, boy, you're talking about a miracle thing. That thing has been around for years and is fantastic. Brew your tea cold. Health. Tea is full of antioxidants, which boost your immune system. Instead of sipping a hot mugful, Michael Kroger, M.D., author of the How Not to Die cookbook, suggests brewing it cold. Antioxidant levels are higher than when tea is made with boiling water. Keep your dog from getting the flu. Pets. Like any other member of your family, your pooch is susceptible to sniffles. Ask your vet about getting your dog the canine influenza vaccine. If your pup is unvaccinated, avoid dog parks, groomers, and doggy daycares or boarding facilities. And there's a picture of a cute little bulldog sitting here with big ears and a box of tissues. 4. Remember where you're parked. Once you've pulled into your spot, open the Google Maps app on your phone and tap your location marked by the blue dot. Choose set as parking location, and the address will become a plot on the map marked by P. You'll never lose your car again. As long as you don't lose your phone. 5, get free tax help. If you or someone in your life needs help filling out or filing their tax reforms, you might be in luck. The Tax Counseling for the Elderly program offers assistance to individuals 60 years and older, while volunteer income tax assistance is open to people who generally make $54,000 or less. With both programs, IRS-certified volunteers are available to help you prepare your taxes for free. To learn more, go to irs.gov. 6, avoid overweight bag fees. Many of the major U.S. airlines recently raised their baggage fees, and an overweight bag can cost you an extra $100. If you're not sure whether yours will make the cut, pack a few of your heavier items in a tote bag. Then pack the tote at the top of your suitcase. If your lugger tips the scales, you can simply take the tote bag out and carry it on as a personal item. Delete these texts immediately. 7. You know you shouldn't open emails or other phone calls from people you don't know. This helps to avoid phishing, a scamming tactic used to trick people into revealing confidential information about their bank accounts, credit cards, or other personal accounts. Now you also need to be wary of smishing. Phishing attempts conducted over SMS, short message service, known better as texting. In particular, if you get a text from an acquaintance you've never met, from your bank asking you to confirm your account, or from a contest you didn't enter, informing you that you've won a prize, delete it immediately, and never click on links sent by text from people you don't know. They could infect your phone with malware. 8, prevent streaky windows. Your mother might have taught you that cleaning windows with newspapers would make the glass shiny and streak-free. While it's true that newsprint doesn't leave lint behind, the way paper towels do, it can tear easily if oversaturated and doesn't pick up dirt and residue well. For a surefire way to get spotless windows, dilute rubbing alcohol or vinegar 50-50 with water. Dab the mixture into a microfiber cloth and wipe away grime. 9, never waste ketchup again. Instead of furiously shaking the bottle only to produce an enormous ketchup blob, a Heinz spokesman told Today that the neck starts to narrow, the ketchup will come out more quickly and smoothly. Laughter, the best medicine. There's a cartoon here of a caveman and a cavewoman standing outside inside the entrance to a cave. And the woman's looking at him, and she says, after you acquire the speech, she says those words that none of us ever want to hear, we need to talk. A guy gets a ticket to the Super Bowl, but finds he's in the nosebleed section. He spots an Emmy seat on the 50-yard line, runs down, and claims it. What of you, he says to the older man seated next to him. Why would anyone pass this up? It's my wife's, the older man. We've gone to every Super Bowl since we were married, but she passed away. I'm so sorry, but couldn't you find a friend to come with you? The older man shakes his head. They're all at the funeral. To the guy who stole my antidepressants, I hope you're happy now. The village blacksmith finally found an apprentice willing to work long, hard hours. The blacksmith instructed the boy, when I take the shoe out of the fire, I'll lay it on the anvil, and when I nod my head, you hit it with this hammer. The apprentice did just as he was told. Now he's the village blacksmith. I did some research, and it turns out I'm super Irish. Even my blood type O is O apostrophe. That doesn't make sense. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers were dining in New York. Ginger was resplendent in a ball gown and pearls, and Fred also spotted evening wear. But the meal was marred when the waiter bringing their desserts tripped and covered that Fred from head to toe and treacle sponge. I'm terribly sorry, said the waiter. So you should be, replied Fred. Thanks to you, I'm putting on my top hat, putting on my white tie, and putting on my tails. I went to the doctor, and he said, you've got hypochondria. I said, not that, too. Drive-by laughs. What's the funniest town in Colorado? It might be Indian Hills, home to these hills area road signs. And if you have Facebook, you've seen these probably. When you're down by the sea and an eel bites your knee, that's amore. I scream, you scream, the police come and it's awkward. Whenever I try to eat healthy, a chocolate bar looks at me and snickers. Antisocial vegans, avoid the meat. It's spelled M-E-E-T. Amazing facts about salt. 13 things. Salt was so valuable in ancient Rome that soldiers were sometimes paid with it. In fact, the word salary comes from Latin word sal for salt. When a soldier was doing a lousy job, his paycheck might be cut, which is how we got the expression, not worth his salt. 2, salt can still be valuable today. Amethyst bamboo, 9X salt, which rings up at $398 a pound, maybe the most expensive in the world. This pricey stuff takes a lot of time to produce. It's roasted 9 times inside a bamboo pole at a temperature exceeding 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit. One store says the resulting delicacy smells like something dragons used to season their victims before eating them. 3. Historically, salt's value came from its ability to preserve food. Venice, Italy may be famous for its canals now, but salt imports fueled its rise to an influential trade power by the end of the 13th century. 4. Salt also took on a great deal of symbolic value. There's a reason it is mentioned so many times in the Bible. Salt of the earth, a pillar of salt, a covenant of salt. Its preservative properties made it an apt metaphor for permanence and conviction. 5. Most people know about the health risk associated with sodium, but reducing your intake isn't always easy. More than 75% of sodium Americans eat comes from processed foods, bread, cured meats, and canned soup on the top of the list. Even foods that don't taste salty may contain it. Instant oatmeal with maple and brown sugar, for example, it contains 100 milligrams of sodium per ounce, a little more than a small bag of potato chips. Number 6. Even French fries aren't necessarily the biggest culprit. A 2012 study examined sodium levels of fast food menu items from different countries and found that pizza and burgers contain more sodium than French fries because they come in larger serving sizes. Number 7. Extra salt might be lurking in your meal even if you cook at home and are very careful. According to the USDA, about 60% of all raw meat and poultry products are injected with or soaked in a salty solution. The words enhanced, marinated, basted, or improved on the package can suggest the presence of salt. To avoid it, opt for a label wording such as contains up to 4% retained water, says Christy Brissett, RDS, president of 80-20 Nutrition. That's interesting. 8. Sea salt may sound healthier than table salt, but most sea salts contain roughly the same proportion of sodium, about 40%, as table salt. If you're looking for sodium-free flavoring, try garlic, pepper, oregano, sage, rosemary, and other spices or herbs. Number 9. Even if you don't have hypertension, it's still a good idea to cut down on your salt intake to reduce your blood pressure, according to a 2017 review of 185 studies. Number 10. For older folks especially, a heavy hand with a salt shaker may also hurt your head. A study of 975 people ages 60 to 80 with hypertension found that reducing sodium in their diets was associated with lower risk of a headache. Number 11. Still, we all need at least some salt. It facilitates the transport of nutrients and oxygen, allows nerves to transmit messages, and helps our muscle work. The average adult's body contains about 250 grams of sodium, the equivalent of about 3 or 4 shakers of salt. Number 12. In the 1920s, salt became a primary tool in the fight against goiter, a thyroid disorder caused by iodine deficiency. Iodized salt became common in American kitchens, and in the cases of gout of goiter, nearly disappeared. Today, only about 53% of table salt sold through retail is iodized. Number 13. All that said, the number one use of salt in the United States isn't in food at all. In 2016, about 44% of salt went toward de-icing roads, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Only 3% was used in agriculture and food processing. 5 hilarious literal translations. Saratan el Bahar, Eric. Translation, cancer of the sea. What we call it, lobster. Julepuka, Finnish. Translation, Christmas billy goat. What we call it, Santa Claus. Dihano, Mandarin. Translation, electric brain. What we call it, a computer. Stofskuger, Dutch. Translation, dust sucker. What we call a vacuum. Nakshinike, German. Translation, naked snail. What we call it, a slug. And with that, we transition to the consumer reports. Does car buying make your head spin? Sick of haggling and endless paperwork at dealership? Consumer-friendly changes are coming to car buying process, making it faster, more transparent, and less painful. Here's what you need to know. When Vineeth Vazahale decided to purchase a Honda Clarity plug-in hybrid, the Chicago man emailed several local dealerships to ask about pricing and test drives. The dealer he chose responded with a price he liked and had the car ready and waiting for his test drive. We were in and out of there in under an hour, he said. It was a totally honest and upfront conversation overall. In an area of online shopping and instant gratification, the traditional way of buying a car can seem like a painful throwback. Some dealers are still doing business the old school way, insisting buyers haggle over the price, hiding fees and charges until the last minute, and making customers wait hours for sign of form after form. These methods are out of place in today's world of digital convenience and consumer demand for transparency. Analysts and consultants who track and advise the auto industry tell Consumer Reports that car dealers are at a turning point. By embracing new technology and transparency as they adapt to changing consumer demands, a new generation of car dealers is trying to make The experience is like Vattishall's, the rule rather than the exception. Empowered car consumers. Like Vattishall, today's car buyers often do a majority of their shopping online, subscribing to searching for the right car and emailing dealers to get price quotes. For the most part, they know what they want to buy before they walk in the door, says Andrea Baker, a trainer and consultant at MCM Associates, a firm that works with car dealers. Even as today's buyers are growing more comfortable taking other parts of the purchasing process online, many buyers still want a physical interaction with the car, such as dealers taking them on test drives, guiding them through paperwork, and explaining complex in-car technology, says Guillermine Saint, global automotive lead at Consumer Firm Kantar. A fair share of buyers also appreciate the ceremonial aspect of making a major purchase in person. Still, a Deloitte study found that 60% of car buyers want to cut out the dealership entirely and purchase a vehicle online directly from a manufacturer. That's the model used by electric car maker Tesla, which relies on online ordering and company-owned showrooms. Traditional manufacturers are bound by franchise agreements with existing dealers, and some states don't allow direct sales and require the dealership model. Owning and controlling a dealer network can get expensive, says Saint. He says also says Tesla's system is a source of inspiration for traditional manufacturers who are starting to follow suit, especially for premium or niche cars that may be slow to sell sitting on the dealer lot. For those cars, dealerships would be more showrooms than actual points of sale, he says. Audi's new e-tron electric SUV, for example, won't be stocked on dealer lots. Dealers will have demonstration units so that all customers can see, touch, and feel the new car, says Audi spokesman Mark Donaghy. Even the all-important test drive doesn't always require a trip to a dealership. Hyundai lets prospective buyers schedule an at-home test drive from its Hyundai Drive app. The car is delivered to your home, and you can go for a test drive with a salesperson. Many individual dealer groups are offering similar services. Consumer Reports contacted multiple dealerships and dealer groups to ask about the changing buyer preferences and greater online purchase options, and they either did not respond or declined to comment. A less painful process. Once consumers decide on a car to buy, many are still put off by the purchase process. The Deloitte study found that 57% of car buyers disliked how much paperwork they had to fill out. 42% said the whole process took too long, and 40% hated haggling over price. That's why dealers are trying to streamline the buying process. Very forward-thinking dealerships right now are trying to come up with a way to do a complex transaction online without the buyer ever even walking into the store, Baker says. That's much the same way real estate agents and mortgage companies online signatures during the home buying process. Some dealers are also talking negotiation out of the equation. 40% of the dealers surveyed by consulting firm Max Digital say they want to adapt a low or no-haggle pricing policy. Certain automakers, including Lexus, are testing more transparent pricing models. Consumers today don't want to deal with salespeople, says Patrick McMullen, Max Digital's Senior Vice President of Strategy and Innovation. They just want to know they're getting a fair deal, and if they have any questions about the car, that the salesperson is knowledgeable enough to answer those questions. Gender and culture clash. Ultimately, car dealers are changing because the customers are changing. For example, more than 80% of car buying decisions are influenced by women, according to Kathy Gilbert, Director of Sales and Business Development at dealer consulting firm CDK Global. As a result, there's a focus on getting more female talent in the dealership, she says. Women consumers are coming in with a different expectation of what the industry should look like, as well as what the industry should deliver as an experience. CDK's global research also shows that younger buyers are less tolerant of being handed off from salesperson to salesperson, long negotiations, and fuzzy pricing. And a new generation of dealers understand those needs. We're seeing a lot of next-generation dealers that are coming in, and they're looking at how the industry is changing, Gilbert says. Know when to walk away. There are four signs that a car dealership isn't treating you fairly. The worst dealers use bluster and pressure, so it's important to remember that you, not the dealer, set the pace for buying a car. Be aware, 90% of our car dealers pay their salespeople on commission, according to a Max Digital survey, so it's in the salesperson's interest to sell you a car. Do your research ahead of time and remember that you can walk away at any time. After all, it's better to take a break from negotiation than get stuck with a car you paid too much for. The four items. They won't quote you a price by email. If a dealer won't offer a price quote via email, or if he responds only to say you should come into the dealership for a quote, it's time to find one who will commit to a price in advance. They pull out the four square. This old school sales technique uses a worksheet divided into four boxes: your trade-in value, the purchase price, your down payment, and the monthly payment. Focusing on that monthly payment is meant to distract the buyer from negotiating down the vehicle's overall price, or to hide the length of a loan or interest rate, or for the money factor in that case of a lease. They pressure you to buy. A dealer may ask what will it take to get you into this car today, or pressure you to sign paperwork during negotiations process. Some of these documents are legally binding and others aren't. Take as much time as you need to read every document carefully, and don't sign anything until you feel comfortable with the numbers you've been offered. The final hard sale. Often the car buying experience sours when you go to the finance and insurance office. That's where you'll be pressured to buy extras like extended warranties, VIN etching, upholstery protection, and GAP insurance. Most of these are unnecessary or can be negotiated down in price. Do your research beforehand and don't agree to any charges until you've had time to think them over. Don't want to own? Try subscribing. Is owning a car quaint and unnecessary? For a glowing slice of American drivers, it may be. Car companies are worrying that younger generations aren't as concerned about owning or even driving new cars, especially with the rise of car and ride-saving services such as Zipcar, Uber, and Lyft, says Mel Hughes, CR's automotive analyst. Through focus groups, automakers came to the realization that millennials are very open to using and paying for things only when they need them. Many consumers of all ages have tried ride-sharing, and other short-term rental choices are emerging. Another industry shift is the subscription services automakers have been rolling out, many of which let the customer swap vehicles on demand. How subscribing works. According to Ed Kemp, Vice President of Industry Analysis at Auto Pacific, consumers in general are becoming more open to not owning things. That's why leasing has grown this decade, and really, subscriptions are just another form of leasing, but with added perks and services. For car owners, these plans aim to make things simple by bundling the monthly fee, insurance, and maintenance into one lump sum each month, without a long-term commitment. Amenities vary depending on a car maker's subscription plan, so shoppers need to closely examine the fine print. In most cases, the ability to swap for a different car is one of the big draws. For example, Audi Select allows 24 vehicle swaps per year, and access by BMW and Porsche Passport allow unlimited vehicle swaps. But that perk comes with a hefty price tag. These swap-a-lot plans run from as little as $1,099 a month for BMW's starting tier to $3,000 a month for a Porsche plan that allows consumers to pick from 22 models. The Care by Volvo program also allows only one vehicle upgrade after the first 12 months, but its cost is much lower. It starts at $650 a month for an XC40 small SUV that includes maintenance and insurance. Care by Volvo is currently the only nationally available program of its kind. Most other automakers' subscription plans are pilot programs limited to a handful of cities, or fewer. Porsche Passport, for example, is available only in Metro Atlanta, where Porsche Cars North America is headquartered. Most have fewer mileage restrictions, even unlimited in some cases, compared with traditional leases. But there are exceptions. Access by BMW has a limit of 2,000 miles per month, and Care by Volvo has a 15,000 mile per year ceiling. As these pilot plans are currently constructed, they're more likely to attract older, wealthier customers, no matter who the automakers are targeting. There's no question that manufacturers' subscription plans are targeted at younger consumers who are already accustomed to subscribing to products and services, says Kim of Auto Pacific. The challenge is that younger consumers also tend to be less affluent and more price-sensitive, which means they might find a traditional lease to be much more affordable than the car manufacturer's subscription plans. What CR's pros know about online buying? Consumer Reports buys about 50 vehicles each year to test at our track. We often start the purchase process online, which can be a lower stress option open to any car shopper. Here's how you can do it. Number one, visit dealerships to test drive the models on your short list. Make it clear to the salespeople that you're just trying out the car and don't intend to buy that day. Take notes on each car you drive. Later on, go over the positives and negatives of each model and narrow down your list. Number two, once you have identified the model you want, contact nearby dealers. We find it best to do this by email to avoid a barrage of phone calls. Identify the model, trim level, features, and color you want. Let them know that you're shopping around but are ready to buy. If they ask you to drop in, say no. Make sure the salesperson clearly knows that only the best price will win your business. You might be surprised how often buyers can end up with thousands of dollars off the original sticker price. Bonus, you can take a good offer and use it to negotiate with other dealers. Number three, you may find that it's better to pay a little more to buy locally instead of getting a lower price from a dealer that's far away. Either dealership can perform service and warranty repairs, but the local shop may offer perks, including a guaranteed loaner, cars, and service discounts that offsets the price if you buy a car from a salesperson. If you're financing a car, this is number four. If you're financing a car, arrange a loan in advance so that you know how much you can spend. This keeps you from getting stuck with a high interest rate from the dealer. Once you've agreed on a price, have the bank or credit union make out a check for the final amount. Then simply go to their dealership with your check already made and drive off. This is how Consumer Reports pros do it quickly and usually without any stress. CR Rates Automated Driving Systems. In Consumer Reports' first-ever ratings of partially automated driving systems, Cadillac Super Cruise was top-rated because our testing shows that it does the best job of balancing high-tech capabilities with ensuring the car is operated safely and the driver is paying attention. These partially automated systems are currently available only on a few vehicles, but offer driving convenience features that will be available on future models. When turned on, they use cameras, radar, and other sensors, and sometimes even mapping data, to try to keep a car centered in a lane and maintaining speed so that the vehicle remains a set distance in traffic from vehicles in front. Consumer Reports experts stress that these systems do not make the vehicle self-driving and are not designed to be safety systems. However, in the right circumstances, such as on long highway drives or in stop-and-go traffic, they can mitigate driver fatigue and stress. The risks come if automakers design systems that make it easy for drivers to feel like they don't need to pay attention to the road. Consumer Reports believe it's a critical distinction that because research shows that when these systems are engaged, drivers can become over-reliant on automated steering and speed control. We've been evaluating these systems on a case-by-case basis for years, but we're at a tipping point where they are now going mainstream, says Jake Fisher, Director of Auto Testing at Consumer Reports. Without proper safeguards, over-reliance on the system is too easy, which puts drivers at risk. Here's what CR's testers evaluated. How capable is the automation? The systems we tested on their ability to automate speed control and steering in our testing. Tesla's Autopilot was the most capable, followed closely by Super Cruise, Nissan Infiniti's Pro Pilot Assist, and Volvo's Pilot Assist were far less capable and generally struggled to keep the car in its lane. Nissan and Volvo say the systems were limited intentionally so that drivers don't overtrust them and instead remain engaged. How easy is it to use? Testers evaluated how easy it was for drivers to engage and use the systems. Autopilot was simple to use with its unique display. Volvo was particularly cumbersome with small display and cryptically marked buttons. Is it clear to drivers when to use it? We evaluated systems for how clearly they communicate when drivers should and should not use the technology. Super Cruise is the clear winner. It allows use only on predetermined roads that have clear lane markings and limited access. Other systems are less restrictive, though not recommended. It is possible to use autopilot almost everywhere, but it can operate erratically on roads that have poor lane markings. Does it help to make sure the driver is paying attention? When steering and speed control are automated, the driver is more likely to become distracted, research shows. That's why it's critical for systems to have an effective way to check that the driver is still engaged with driving. Some systems can sense when the driver is not holding the steering wheel, but that doesn't ensure the driver is watching the road. Only Super Cruise requires the driver to actually look forward. What happens if drivers don't or can't respond? We examine how the systems respond to if the driver ignores repeated warnings. Each system, except for Volvo's, ultimately responded by slowing to a stop and staying in its lane. Consumer Reports tested these four systems because they're among the most capable and well-known. Other automakers, such as Honda and Toyota, offer similar features, but they're not marketed in the same way. Consumers stand to gain a lot of convenience from these systems, but only if the automakers put safety first, says David Friedman, Vice President of Advocacy at Consumer Reports. We want to see automakers put the same emphasis on safety as they do on marketing these systems. What's in a safety system name? As more cars come advanced with advanced safety and driver assistant features, consumers may become confused about exactly what they do and how they work. That's not surprising, given that in some cases there's a dozen or more brand names for safety features, says David Friedman, Vice President of Advocacy at Consumer Reports. That's why Consumer Reports is working with safety groups, a federal agency, and auto industry representatives to come up with common generic names for key safety and driver assistant features. And we want to encourage all automakers to use these generic descriptions, Friedman says. A group of 10 organizations, including AAA, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, HHS, IIHS, J.D. Power, and the National Safety Council, and several others, has agreed to use these six common terms, forward collision warning, FCW, automatic emergency braking, AEB, adaptive cruise control, ACC, blind spot warning, BSW, lane departure warning, LDW, and lane keeping assist, LKA. Automakers often give their own similar sounding names to systems that are very different, says Kelly Funkhauser, Consumer Reports Program Manager for Vehicle Usability and Automation. Drivers may end up assuming that their car has a safety feature that it does not. Consumer Reports isn't asking manufacturers to give up their branded names for safety systems, but rather to supplement them with increase clarity for consumers. Common names and definitions would help drivers, regulators, and safety advocates evaluate these new technologies on an apples-to-apples basis, says Brian Reimer, Associate Director of the New England University Transportation Center at MIT. There are a lot of nuanced differences in how automakers implement their advanced safety or driver assistance systems, he says. For instance, some automatic emergency braking systems work only at a low speed, and others work at higher speeds. The various system names could leave consumers confused and at risk. Today, consumers can buy a car and walk away not knowing exactly what safety features they have, Friedman says. Consumer Reports believes that all vehicles should come with FCR, AEB, and BSW as standard. FCW, forward collision warning, what it does, gives a physical, tactile, or audible warning that alerts the driver to the possibility of a collision with an obstacle in front. What automakers call it, front assist, Volkswagen. AEB, automatic emergency braking system, what it does, automatically applies the brakes to prevent and reduce impact force at a collision with an obstacle in front. What automakers call it, forward emergency braking, Nissan. ACC, adaptive cruise control. What it does, keeps a constant distance between you and the car ahead, automatically maintaining a preset following distance. What automakers call it, Distranic, Mercedes-Benz. BSW, blind spot warning. What it does, provides a warning that something is in the vehicle's blind spot. What automakers call it, lane change alert, Buick, Chevrolet, Chevrolet, and GMC. LDW, lane departure warning. What it does, give warnings intended to alert the driver that the vehicle is crossing lane lines. What automakers call it, lane sense, Chrysler. LKA, lane keeping assist. What it does, provides automatic corrective steering or braking to try and keep the vehicle in its lane of travel. What automakers call it, road departure mitigator, Hyundai. How to use car buying services. Buying a car can be a stressful experience that can drain your emotions and your wallet. Car buying services can help. Services from AAA, Consumer Reports, Sam's Club, USAA, and others go beyond connecting buyers with a local car dealer. Members get tools, configure the car they want, and send that specific request to local dealerships. Consumer Reports Online Build and Buy a Car Buying Service is offered free through a partnership with TrueCar. Shoppers can build their car online at cr.org/carbuying and get comparative pricing for more than 12,000 dealerships nationwide. You can see what others are paying in your area. The competitive prices usually reflect all available incentives. It's important to check your eligibility because many have restrictions. The dealerships meet CR's stringent customer satisfaction and conduct standards. Consumer Report members get special pricing and last year saved an average of $3,101 off the MSRP. When you've identified the car you want online, print the guaranteed savings certificate assigned to a specific vehicle and visit the dealership to complete the transaction. Shoppers are under no obligation to buy. The fees that CR earns go to support the work of this nonprofit organization. Helping to cut auto emissions. What's at stake? Because the federal government announced a plan to roll back the hard-won mileage standards for new cars, states now face a choice. Stand down as efficiency gains are forfeited or demand that automakers stick to the original standards. A rollback would be costly. By the 2025 model year, weaker standards would cost Americans an average of $1,650 over the life of their vehicles, even after taking into consideration the additional cost of the gas-saving technology, according to the Environmental Protection Agency's 2017 analysis. As the debate over the proposed rollback continues, Colorado decided to become the 14th state to adopt low-emission vehicle, LEV, standards, and the state may take another step, one that would make it a national leader in clear air standards by expanding its consumer choice. Its Air Quality Control Commission is considering a requirement that by 2025, approximately 7% of vehicles sold annually in Colorado be zero-emission vehicles, ZEVs, such as electric cars, which means automakers would offer a greater selection of SEVs in our state. How CR has your back. David Friedman, CR's Vice President of Advocacy, went to Colorado to testify on Upsport State's recently approved LEV standards, and Shannon Baker-Braunstether, CR Senior Policy Counsel on Energy and Environmental Issues, has testified in support of Colorado, pending zero-emission vehicles. Now let's finish up with some letters. Our readers have plenty of opinion out flying, and they shared them in relation to our December 2018 article, Your Airline Travel Survival Guide. I found a good deal of helpful information in the airline guide. Here's another tip. Many airlines and their seating classes are reviewed by travelers on YouTube. Some videos are very informative and show pictures of the seating, the meals, and the entertainment. Doug Vogt, Santa Barbara, California. Page 30 airplane graphic is outstanding, attention-getting, informative, and helpful, and very attractive. Your comparisons and rating of domestic airlines were useful, with Southwest deservedly being at the top of the list. Additional items of comparison that would have been worthwhile include the ability to shop for the lowest fares on the airline's website, when travel dates are flexible, and the relative utility of smartphone apps. After reading the article on airline travel, I realized that what a sad affair flying has become. Between the country's response to terrorism, the impact of deregulation, and the industry's continued assault on the consumer to extract every dime, flying is no longer fun. It is something to endure. How much worse can it get? At least it is still safe. Your last paragraph covers some, but not all, of the benefits of the more expensive airline credit cards. The expensive United Club card, which also provides travel insurance. Buying insurance directs the cost about 10% of the trip value. We have the expensive United Club card, which also provides travel insurance. Buying the insurance directly costs about 10% of the trip value. Family seating. In your article, Helping Families Fly Together, Building a Better World Together, you point out that the decision to regulate seating families together was deemed inappropriate by the Department of Transportation. What is truly inappropriate is that my 1.5-year-old granddaughter was assigned to a middle seat in a different row from her parents, and the gate agents refused to correct the situation. They told my daughter that they have to rely on the goodness of strangers to let one of the parents sit daughters. Needless to say, it was not hard to convince the child's neighbors to change seats, but the airline was of no help in the situation. We should know what airline that was. Deceptive discounts. In your article, when are sales too good to be true? There was no mention of the ubiquitous merchandising practice that can be called the 99-cent scam. Even a car priced $30 will be listed by the dealer at $29,999 to make it the N99. This scheme seeks to confuse the consumer and focus on the smaller number, 20,000 something rather than 30,000. It also encourages using a credit card rather than real dollars. I suspect that many others are also bothered by this practice. One of my pet peeves is we pay the sales tax, big deal, 8% off. Almost every other legitimate deal offers a better discount. Computer questions. Thanks for your article on laptop computers, supercomputers, December 2018. But I was surprised that you didn't mention the keyboards, especially the Apple MacBook ones. Half the people I know hate them with a passion. The other half think they're just okay. Warn your users to try typing on them before buying. Editor's note. You are correct that the keyboards in the past few MacBook revisions have proved to be somewhat controversial, in part because the laptops are so thin that there's not as much space for the keys to travel when pressed, as it was with older models. The result is a somewhat shallow typing experience, literally, that may feel awkward if you're used to the older MacBook keyboards. We factor keyboard comfort in our ergonomic score. A keyboard with very small keys, for example, would be expected to do poorly. In the case of the most recent 13-inch MacBook Pro, our testers gave the laptop a very good score for ergonomics. Recall reservations. I just read alerting consumers about recalls. Together, about your push to allow online registration for product recalls. The reason I don't fill in the cards and won't do so online is because of the fear that I'll be inundated with emails and texts from vendors or those they sell our names to. Without something in the law preventing this, I will continue to not register my products. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to become a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.